You're following along at home tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This morning we talked about a day that changed everything. Tonight I want to kind of keep on in that theme and talk about what a change a night makes. What a change a night makes. And this has to do with the ministry of Paul and Silas. Paul has been called to be the missionary to the Gentiles, or the apostle to the Gentiles. And on one of his trips, he took a man by the name of Silas with him. And they're visiting, and they are going through a place called Philippi. And tonight we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16, verses 12 through 34. Acts chapter 16, verses 12 through 34. So let's get down to the whole purpose of this message tonight about Paul being in prison. But we need some background first. First of all, we need to understand the city. The city Philippi is where the book to the Philippians was written to. It's a city in Macedonia. And in verses 12 through 13, we see the Bible account. It says, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony." They had a special status in the Roman Empire. "And we were in that city abiding certain days." They were called to go to that city, and they were there as long as God wanted to be. "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where a prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake to the women which resorted thither." So we see the city, we see it as a colony, we see it's on Paul's missionary itinerary. God has called him there. And when we study the story of Philippi, we know of a convert. One notable convert, her name was Lydia. And in verse 14 it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened." Folks, we need to look for open hearts. We need to have open hearts. "That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, in the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." You know, we are no longer strangers in Christ, but we're fellow citizens. We're part of God's family. And today, I don't think we would take anybody off the street necessarily and put them in our house. But here is Lydia, and she's done this to help Paul and Silas on their way and in their ministry. But you know, whenever you start doing something for God, there's always a conflict. There's always an adversary out there, because we need to be vigilant. We need to be diligent and vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? May devour. So in verses 16 through 21, we see a conflict develop that basically ends with Paul and Silas winding up in jail. And so it says, "And it came to pass, as we were in prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." You know, it's just not a head knowledge that gets you saved. The devils believe and tremble. Remember, the first ones that admitted that Christ was the Son of God were demons. And in verse 18, we say, "And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said in his spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. So just because someone's saying the right words doesn't mean they have the right God. And she was possessed. And he came out the same hour. You know what? God can remove obstacles.
Yeah.
But he's God. He can do anything. And he overcomes all the spirits. Verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone. You ever talk about using people or hear about using people? These people were using her. Okay? They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. See, Paul and Silas were doing God's will. They were exactly where God wanted them. There was progress being made. There was spiritual warfare being fought, and God was winning. But the adversaries were out there, and you either, as Christ said, you either serve God or you serve mammon for money. And this conflict over losing their business, because God brings a change, Christ brings a change in people's lives, wind up having a conflict. And folks, we are at conflict with the world system. The Christian walk is at conflict with the world system. So we see the city, we see a convert that was Lydia that allows them to stay in her house. And then we see this conflict, and then we see the punishment. In verses 22, it says, and the multitude, you know, when you ever get a crowd going, it just kind of feeds on itself. Mm-hmm. And it said, these men trouble our city. It said, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. You know, we talk about, you know, people being mad on the internet or mad and not being able to discuss anymore and get very polarized. There's nothing new. When people feel very strongly about something, especially something that impacts them negatively or what they think is negatively, they're going to react harshly. They rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now, that's not what Paul and Silas expected by going to Philippi.
That's right.
None of us expect, you know, any sort of punishment or persecution as we serve, but that's what we're going to do because all that live godly will suffer persecution. Mm-hmm. Verse 23. And when they had, and here is a very descriptive thing. It says, and when they had laid not just a few, not just one, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Basically, I want you to keep them in there, throw away the key, and get them out of our lives. Who, having received such a charge, okay, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, can you imagine this? Paul and Silas have been beaten, and now they're sitting on the floor, and I go spastic with my button there. And yeah, I'll get there. There you go. They're sitting on the floor with their feet in stocks. And that means that their raw back is against the wall. Now, who would want to be in that position? I don't think anyone would willingly want to be in that position. But who would want to be in the position that we're in now? You know, I could tell you right now, we have a college kid at home. He hasn't left the house, and it's getting kind of testy. Okay? It's getting kind of testy. People are talking about the mental health of people because it's kind of like prison. And so what Paul and Silas do here is something that we can do right now. And it gives hope. So we see their punishment here. They didn't commit a crime. All they did was they cast out a demon. All they did was they were preaching the gospel. And now they're in the prison. And the jailer is going to make sure they don't get out. So when you find yourself in prison, when Paul and Silas find themselves there, they have two options. You can either say, well, this doesn't work for me, and I'm going to turn my back on God. Or you can decide to keep God in focus. On Wednesday night, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and we've been going through Colossians chapter 3. And if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sit on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. John writes, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. We need to keep our focus on God, especially when we're going through troublesome times. When you're in the pit, the only way you can look is up. And so in verse 25 here, and at midnight, and we've heard this scripture before, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. There are several things I want us to look at tonight. The first one is they were doing this when they were hurting. They were doing this when they were physically hurting. We've already seen that there was laid many stripes on them. Their feet were put in stocks. They could not move. They're hurting. And they keep their focus on God. And they're praying and they're singing psalms. They're singing praises unto God. Last week we talked about that we're supposed to singing in our heart psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody unto the Lord. And when we're hurting, that is a time that we need to keep God in focus. Not only that, they were tired. You know, this event had happened in one day. The magistrates had beat them, or had them to be beat. And then after that, they were put in prison. They were put in the stocks. We don't know if they ate or not. But it's midnight. And I don't know if it was the pain of their thing that was keeping them up. I do know that Paul preached a long time because people fell out of loft and because they were asleep. They slept at times. But they were tired. And I think this issue about at midnight is a significant thing. Because at the end of the day, when they're hurting and they're locked up in prison, they're praying and singing praises to God. Folks, that's keeping God in focus. When you don't think things can get much dire, you keep God in focus. They were powerless. They had no physical ability to get out of that prison. They were chained up. They were locked up. They were guarded. And there was no hope of escape. But you know something? My God knows where they are. They knew that God knew where they were. And they kept God in focus. And here's the interesting thing. You know, you would think that after the day that they said, you know, we might want to consider keeping our mouth shut about Jesus for a while. You know, this got us locked up in prison. This got us beat. This got us the whole city in a riot. Here we are, and at midnight, probably all the other prisoners were sleeping. And they're praying, and they're singing, and it goes public. They weren't a silent witness. They let their words follow their works. And they knew exactly what to do. I find it interesting that verses that we use about spiritual walk in times and dark times are in the book of Philippians. Because in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, Paul's writing to them. And he's gone away, he's come back. He says, you know, I remember the first time I was in your city. What happened to me? I was put in prison with Silas. We were beaten. We were tired. We were hurting. But then Paul writes this tremendous statement. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Right. Folks, that's keeping God in focus. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Be anxious for nothing. Verse 6. Finally, brethren, think on all these things. Verse 8. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4. Maybe deny for encouragement. Just go back and reread Philippians chapter 4 before you go to bed tonight. And keep your focus on God. Keep God in focus. So here they've all had a long day and they're now praying and praising God. You think God heard their prayer? Absolutely. Did you know that God was watching the women walking to the tomb? And had to get rid of the guards and had to get rid of the stone so they could hear the message and see the message that God had prepared for them so that that word could get to the disciples? God has this all worked out. See, there's the jailer. And God knows that if he hears the gospel, it's going to change his life. And so he's going to do whatever it takes to get people to hear. Look at Cornelius and Peter. But we need to keep God in focus. Here's Paul and Silas in the stocks in the innermost part of the prison. And you know something? They may not have anticipated that God was going to act this fast. But you know something? When we're all locked up and we're in a hole, we need to keep expecting God's power. That's hope. In verse 26, you think it's a coincidence? Uh-uh. It's God acting on behalf of his people. And it says, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake. You know what God is willing to do for someone who's praying to him? He's willing to move heaven and literally earth to make this happen. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I bet you that got everybody's attention. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. You know why? Because the power of God frees people.
Amen.
The power of God frees people. So we need to keep expecting God's power at any time. It's too hard. It's too late to pray. That's when you need to pray.
Right.
God doesn't care about this little thing. That's when you need to pray. He doesn't care about me. That's when you need to pray. That's when you need to praise Him. Because we need to expect His power. But oftentimes we go through our Christian life as if we are not expecting anything good to happen. But we need to expect God's power at any time. We need to expect God's power any place. You know, it's interesting that that where revival breaks out and Philippi is in the prison. You know, some of these things happen in the most unlikely places possible. You know why? Because God is God of all and He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And then see, that power was just not shown for Paul and Silas. That power was shown to every prisoner. You know, it's one thing to shake a building, but it's another thing to shake a building so specifically that all the doors open. It's another thing. Now think about this. It's another thing for an earthquake to take shackles away. See, when God works because people expect God's power, you're going to see amazing things happen. And it's going to impact others. Remember, Paul, later on in the book of Acts, is on a ship and it's in a storm. And because Paul prayed, and he says, everybody stay in the ship. All of them were saved. We're safe. Folks, when you experience God's power, you're safe. You're safe. So we need to keep God in focus. We need to keep expecting God's power. And then we need to keep expecting opportunities. I keep on saying that this is a wonderful opportunity to share gospel. And I'm happy to report that a young lady Thursday night got saved.
Amen.
See, God still works. We just got to be faithful. And we got to seize opportunities. In verses 27 through 30, and it says, and the keeper, now it also got the keeper's attention too. Okay? And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and I like the next phrase, and sprang in. I can't do it anymore, I'm too old. He sprang in to the prison cell and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Now, why would he go to their cell? Could it be that Paul and Silas were publicly singing and publicly praying? The prisoners heard. We don't know what happened. Maybe Paul and Silas was rejoicing when this was happening. And see, when you're face to face with God's power, there's only one question, and you don't know Him as your Savior, there's only one question you could possibly ask. And in verse 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? See, we need to understand the power of prayer. We need to understand the power of praise. We need to understand no matter where we are, we have that ability. We need to understand that God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. We need to understand that when we're in the pit, we can still look up. We need to keep God in focus. We need to expect His power to be shown. And we need to keep expecting opportunities to share the gospel. You know what we need to do? We need to be different. Be different. Don't fall into the same traps that everybody else does. Here's a couple of verses, three verses I want to share out of 1 Peter. Now talk about this. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. When you're out and free, when you're in prison, when you have the ability to walk around and everything else, or when you're in the stocks, when you're healed, or when you're hurting." The thing is, no matter, in all manner of conversation, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says, having your conversation, or your way of life, or your walk, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that's why they were in prison in the first place. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. See, the jailer had no choice. He had never seen anything like this, neither did the prisoners. Neither did Paul and Silas. A specific earthquake that opens up shackles. A specific earthquake opens up doors. Pretty incredible stuff. We serve an incredible God.
Amen.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, we're also encouraged to have a good conscience. Having a good conscience. Whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Those are great verses to live by. Those are great verses to live by. Read Philippians chapter 4 tonight. And then look at this. And ask yourself, where's your conversation? Am I godly only when it's good? Or can I be godly when things are not going my way? That's character. That's what James talks about. And so we need to keep expecting opportunities. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 11 through 12, Isaiah writes, he says, "So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." So see, we need to expect and seize opportunities, and we need to keep witnessing. The fourth part, it doesn't matter how bad things are, you keep witnessing. I've learned that when things go bad, you do something good. I learned that when things don't go well, you cry out to God. And He'll see us through. In verses 31 and 32 of Acts 16, it says, "And they said..." Who's the they? Paul and Silas. You know, they had unity here. One God, one gospel, one spirit. They were in lockstep with God. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." See, your salvation is just the beginning. Your salvation is just the beginning of having a foothold, of having God have a foothold in your family, that your family be saved. We were praying for kids and grandkids and lost spouses and lost co-workers. You are the foothold. You are the stronghold of God. And we need to keep witnessing. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord." You don't have to know anything except God's word. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker. This is the way I was before I met Jesus Christ. And then I met Jesus Christ and knew what He did on the cross. And this is who I am now. And the two things should not be the same. They should not be the same. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." This is happening the same night. Oh, I'll just call you in the morning. We'll talk about it over lunch tomorrow. Folks, when the power of God moves, you move with it. Right then and there. They're hurting. They're tired. It's midnight. It's after midnight. And this is happening. When that phone rings in the middle of the night, would you pick it up? Someone asks you to come over and pray with them. Would you go over and pray with them? If someone cried out and said, I need help, would you go over and help them no matter when? That's what Christ did for us. That's what He was willing to do. He's willing to do all those things that we talked about this morning. We need to keep witnessing. God changes people. Amen. Now, if you go back and you can look at the history books and the cultural books and everything else, jailers were not very nice people. Now, the last thing that jailer wanted that day was two of these rabble-rousing Jews cause an uproar in a city, and now he's got to deal with them. Kind of sounds like Pilate, huh? He didn't want anything there. He threw him in the stocks, shut the door, locked the door, went to sleep. Man, there. But look at the change in the jailer. We're talking about the same night. The same night. And he took them the same hour of the night. Hey, I'm going to sleep yet. But you know something? Christ told his disciples, he says, I have meat that you don't know of. And Christ can take you further than you ever thought you could go. Give you endurance more than you ever thought you had. Make you do things you never thought you could. If you just surrender to Him. And He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Amen. What a change. From the condemning to the compassionate. From the conqueror to the comforter. We have the jailer having a life change. And he wanted to get at it. Folks, we need that kind of zeal in our walk. That when something, we see God's power work, we need to get at it. Washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his straightway. Well, we'll give some counseling session. No! He got baptized because that's exactly what the Bible teaches. He immediately became obedient to the ordinance of the church. He immediately changed his outlook on a former prisoner. He treated Paul and Silas as if they were part of his own family. He didn't know them from Adam. He didn't know they were troublemakers in the world's eyes. But not only that, look at verse 34 and see how far out of his way he went. And when he brought them into his house, from prison to the house, he set meat before them. He served them. He ministered unto them immediately. Immediately. And folks, you want to get some encouragement? You start ministering to people. You start serving people. And pretty soon you'll find out that you're not thinking about your situation anymore. You're thinking about others. And you're going to find blessings coming from places that you never thought could come from. Who would have thought in the span of a few hours that the jailer would become Paul and Silas's friend? Who would have thought that? What a change God can make. And rejoiced believing in God with all his house. Not only did he get saved, but everybody there did. You know what? Because I'm sure the jailer said, you won't believe what happened down in the jailhouse. These two dudes were praying and singing, and all of a sudden this earthquake came out and all the doors came up, and everybody, instead of running, they were all there. They were all there. And these men started talking to me about Jesus. I never heard about him before. It changed my life. And it's changed my entire household. Folks, it worked 2,000 years ago. It'll work today.
Yes, amen.
It'll work today. Are you ready for a change? You know, today we celebrate a day that makes all the difference. We talked about a night that changed everything for this jailer. You think it was by accident, all these things, that Paul was in the right city at the right time? Nah. It's God's providence. So are you ready for a change? Look to him. Keep him in focus. Keep expecting his power. Keep expecting opportunities. Keep witnessing. Keep witnessing. And expect blessings from places you never thought you would get them. Oh, please be ready for the change. Let's stand. I have a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord, just change us tonight. Help us, Lord, to be sold out to you. Lord, we thank you for all you do. And Lord, help us to have the refreshment, Lord, of the change that only you can bring. Show your power in our lives. Father, someone does not know you, like the jailer. Lord, help them to understand that you sent your son to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. And he was buried and raised 3 days to show that he has power over sin and over death, and offers the free gift of eternal life for asking for forgiveness. Lord, help us to experience your power. Help us, Lord, to keep you in focus, especially in these trying times. Help us, Lord, to have hope. Help us to do good. We thank you, we love you, and we give you this time of invitation. We want to glorify you, and we ask these things in your son's name. Amen.